Well, good morning, Active Church. Are you guys good? Are you ready? All right. Hey, my name is Josh, and I am on the serve team here at Active, and I'm pumped to bring the message today. Before I start, can I just say how thankful I am for Active Church? I was a little delayed. That's all right, though. We say it every week, but I'm so glad that it's really true for me and my family that we call this place our home. And I'm so thankful that I have a church that I enjoy going to, that my kids look forward to. And in just over a year and a half, over 500 people have come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. How cool is that? And let's give it up for our lead pastor, Pastor Adam. It was a little weak applause, but thanks for the love, right, Pastor Adam? Hey, we are continuing our summer series here at Active, and last week, Pastor Adam talked about BYOB. You guys remember that? Good. They thought, bring your own beer. It's breakthrough. We're talking breakthrough. And can I just say that if you're here today and you're in a place that's not good, let me just tell you that I believe that God's not done with you yet. The Bible says that all things work together for what? For good. And so if you're in a bad place this morning, guess what? God's not done. That's good news, right? God's not done. You say, Josh, that sounds good, but you don't know my situation. You don't know my reality. And it's true that sometimes there's a gap or a wall between where we're at and the goodness of God, and we need a breakthrough to get to that point. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And you all know kind of the drill for summer series. We like to talk about really deep theological topics, and we break scripture apart, and we get very deep into the Bible. And so to do that, we're going to talk this morning about Jonah and the well. Very deep. Jonah and the well. And we're going to focus on a prayer that Jonah prayed when he was inside the belly of the fish. And there was a pastor of a church in a small community, and there was a strip club that came to town and was looking to open their building right next door to the church. And obviously the pastor, the congregation, was concerned, upset, and they had went to the city council. They did everything to try to stop the strip club from opening, and nothing worked. And so the pastor called the congregation together and said, This is what we're going to do. I'm going to call 7 days of prayer and fasting. Seems like the Christian thing to do. And so that's what we're going to do. And they coordinated with all the congregants that for the next 7 days, 24 hours a day, someone would be at the church praying that God would shut the doors of that strip club and that it wouldn't open up. And so after the 7 days of prayer, there was actually a storm that came through, and there was thunder and lightning, and lightning hit the building of that strip club and burned the building down. And the owner of the strip club, he knew that the church was praying against it and doing everything that they could to try to stop them from opening the doors. And it was in California, and so they did the most logical thing, and the owner of the strip club sued the church. Of course he did, and said, it's the church's fault that my building burned down. And so it went to trial, and the pastor testified, and he said, it's not my fault that the building burned. He said, it's just weather, you know, global warming. Not our fault. And at the end of the trial, the judge said, well, it's very clear and apparent to me, after all the discussion that we've had, that the owner of the strip club, unlike the pastor of the church, believes in the power of prayer. I could just drop the mic and walk off the stage, but we're a church plant and it might break the mic, so I'm going to continue on. We need this microphone. We're going to start in Jonah chapter 1, and you all know the story. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. Now, you got to understand that if Scripture calls something wicked, like, it's really wicked. Like, you see themes over and over in the Bible of God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's love. And so if it calls something wicked, you know that it's bad. And the city that God called Jonah to go to, Nineveh, it was a bad, crazy place. Like, they were torturing, literally torturing innocent men and women, and even their children. Like, it was a bad place. And God called Jonah, said, go there and preach the gospel. And you know what Jonah did? He went the opposite way. God was like, go east, go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, no, I'm going west. It's like, no way, God. Jonah, running away from God. You know what he did? He got on the boat trying to run away from God, and God called a huge storm. Big waves came and started crashing on the boat, and the boat literally started falling apart, and everyone on the boat thought that they were going to die. I went whale watching last summer out of Morro Bay. Paid like $10 to get on this boat and go whale watching, and it was a small, tiny boat, and as we exited the bay of Morro Bay, like, there were some huge waves. Like, I felt like I was on Deadliest Catch. Like, it was crashing, and I'm honest, they were so bad. There was a boat a little ahead of us that literally capsized. Like, the Coast Guard had to come and get them. Like, there was big waves. I thought I was going to die. And I'm sure that those waves don't even compare to the waves that were hitting this boat that Jonah was on. And so the story goes on. You know it. The captain of the boat knew that Jonah was a prophet, and he went to Jonah and was like, Jonah, you got to get a hold of your God. Like, pray to him or we're going to die. And Jonah's like, no, I am not in the mood to pray. Like, I'm running from God. You're crazy. Storm continued, and the sailors ran to Jonah. And they're like, Jonah, dude, help us. We know that you know God. Please talk to your God and get us out of this. And Jonah, after talking to the sailors, like, he started feeling guilty, right? He's like, you know what, guys? Like, it's my fault. This storm, like, it's on me. It's all on me. I know God, you're right, and I'm running from God. I'm trying to run away from him, and God sent this storm to get my attention, and if you don't throw me overboard, like, we're all going to die. And the sailors, like, they had compassion for Jonah, right? Like, no, man, we're not going to throw you overboard. We love you. We're going to get through this together. Like, we're going to fight this battle together. And they started throwing cargo off the ship to try to lighten the load, and it wasn't working. Like, the ship was going down, and all of a sudden, they had a change of heart. They're like, Jonah, you got to go. Sorry, bud. They threw Jonah overboard. You know the story. Big fish comes, swallows him up. And this is where we pick up the story. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, a huge fish swallowed Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for how many days? 3 days and three nights. And this is where we see the prayer that Jonah prayed inside the belly of the fish. Hi. Inside the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed this prayer. And that's what we're going to focus on now. And I can't imagine, like, how nasty it must have been for Jonah to be inside the belly of this fish. But we look at the prayer of Jonah, and he's actually looking back at the situation. Like, Jonah was thrown overboard. He was swallowed up by the fish. The fish vomited him out. He goes to Nineveh. And, like, after all of the series of events, Jonah is, like, looking back, contemplating. Like, looking at lessons learned. And he realizes, like, what God was capable of doing, like, while he was inside the belly of this fish. And so looking back, Jonah writes down this prayer. And the words of this prayer, I mean, they're powerful. They're life-changing. And we find it in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah did what? Jonah prayed to the Lord. Like he had a change of heart. All of a sudden, God, I'm in a belly of a fish. Like, I think I'm in the mood to pray now. I need some help. He prayed, and God was like, finally, Jonah, I got your attention. And the verse says that in my distress, I called on the Lord. And what did the Lord do? It says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. That's a powerful phrase, and I don't want you to miss the power of that statement, that Jonah, from inside the belly of this fish, called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Like, it's an amazing thing to think that you and I have the ability to call on the creator of the universe. The one who made the heavens and the earth and all the galaxies that exist. The one that spoke and hung the stars into place. The all-powerful, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the all-knowing, the ever-present God. That God, you and I have the ability to call on him. And guess what? He answers. Jonah, in the belly of the fish, called, and God answered. Even in Jonah's denial, even in his rejection, I mean, Jonah had turned his back on God and ran the opposite way. He was in a state of rebellion, and even in that state, God heard his prayer, and guess what? God answered. Catch that this morning, that no matter what state you are, no matter how close to God you are, no matter how far away from God, you may be even doubting the existence of God. You may be angry at God. You may have turned your back and go, wherever you're at this morning, get this message that you can call on the God of the universe and he will hear your cry and answer your call. That's powerful. It's powerful. I was talking to a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago, and he has three kids, and these kids are crazy. Like, they're literally tearing his house apart. Crazy kids. And he has a wife that's a very pretty woman, and she's pleasant, but when she gets upset, she's crazier than all three kids put together. And he was telling me that his mother-in-law is from the South, that she just came and moved in with them all in their two-bedroom house. And the mother-in-law from the South is even crazier than the wife and the kids. And he's like, Josh, I just lost my job. Like, I'm having some medical issues. And he was telling me, like, you know, I'm trying to start my business, but it's not going anywhere. Like, I've been trying to get healthier, trying to eat healthier, trying to go to the gym, but I'm just not feeling better. I'm not improving health-wise. And he was giving me this story of where he was at. And at the end of the conversation, he said, you know, I've tried everything. He goes, I guess all I can do now is pray, huh? I was like, what? Like, prayer is your last resort? Seriously? Like, I've tried everything else, and so I guess I'm going to have to pray to the God of the universe. Like, really? Like, prayer is your plan B? Like, worst case scenario, guys, I'm going to pray. Can you imagine how insulting that must be to God? Like, he teaches us to go boldly to the throne of grace. He teaches us to go into the presence of God, and there we'll find help in our time of need. He teaches us to be anxious about nothing, but in every situation to pray. and the God of peace will guard our heart and mind. Church, prayer isn't something we do as a last resort. Prayer is something we do immediately. It's our first option. It's our only option. We live in a very politically correct environment, world, and sometimes the word pray isn't even used, right? God, Josh, I'm things are so bad right now. Like, things are so tough. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Things are really bad. And what do you hear people say? Well, I'm so sorry about that. I'll be thinking about you. Let me just tell you right now that if I'm going through a difficult time, if I'm going through a tough season, guess what? I don't need your thoughts. I need your prayer. I need your prayer because God responds to prayer. And he responded to Jonah. And Jonah said, "In my distress, I called." And he's writing in the Hebrew language here, and the word distress actually means sarah, sarah. And it's a picture word, and Jonah's describing the situation that he's in the belly of this fish, and he used a picture word called sarah. And it's describing something that I tried to block out of my memory. Sarah literally means, he's describing childbirth, the travail and pain of childbirth. Can all the women say, "Not today, Satan"? He's in the belly of this fish, and he's using a pregnancy word to describe the situation. And he said, "In my distress," like in my agony, as if I am being born, "I called on God, and he answered." In the next verse, it says, "From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." From the depths of the grave. And the literal meaning of the word grave in that scripture is Sheol. Sheol. Sheol means realm of death. The King James Version, the literal translation is hell. And Jonah is saying that from the depths of Sheol, from the depths of hell, I called on God. And he answered. Let me say it like this. Like, Jonah was at a point in time where he was farthest from God. He was in a place that was miserable in every way. And there was nothing that he could possibly do to help his situation. Like, his decisions got him in that place. And he was at a place of no return. There was no way out. He was completely desperate. He was fearful. There was nothing he could do to help contribute to the situation. He was from the depths of hell. Look at what he did. He called on God. He called on God. And he heard. Get this morning, that you may look good on the outside and pretend like everything is good on the outside, but inwardly maybe feels like you're in the pit of hell. Maybe there's brokenness and hurt and pain. Maybe addiction. Maybe a marriage that's on the rocks. Maybe inwardly you feel like Sheol, like you're in the pit of hell. And I'm telling you this morning that from that very place, you can call on God. It doesn't matter how deep you are. He'll hear your voice. From the depths of Sheol, I called on God and he heard. And so we have those two words. We have those two verses. And if we put them together in the Hebrew language, you get a good picture of what Jonah was describing. Sarah, the travail or childbirth. Sheol, translated hell. He's saying that I was as good as dead. I was deep in the pit of hell, but God, in his love and mercy, in the midst of my pain, caused me to sarah. He caused me to be born again. I was as good as dead. I was dead in my sin. I was dead in rejection. My stupid decisions had me hit rock bottom, and there was no return. But God heard my prayer, and sirrah, he gave me new life. Not because I deserved it, but because that's the character of God. He's a life-giving God, whether we deserve it or not. Those of you that know me, you know that I live in a house with three girls. And so I am fully aware of what drama means. I experience drama almost daily. I know what drama is. And I got to say that this story, the story of Jonah, like, it's drama, right? It doesn't get more dramatic than that. Like, at any point in time, God could have intervened and completely changed the situation. But Jonah, being disobedient, running from God, he gets on a boat and God sends a huge storm his way. Drama. Like, the waves are crashing against the boat. The boat's about to sink and they throw Jonah overboard and then a fish swallows him. Drama. Like, God, save the drama for your mama. Don't tell God that. Not a good idea. But you know what I see through that dramatic story of Jonah being swallowed by the fish, and fish spits him out, and he finally goes to Nineveh. Through every phase of that dramatic story, guess what? I see God, and he's actively working in every phase, every step that Jonah took. Like, even in the depths of hell, even in a dark, painful place that Jonah was in, he had hit rock bottom. Even at that place, guess what? God was there. Even in Jonah's rebellion, guess what? God heard his cry. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I'll say it again, that if you're in a place that's not good, guess what? God's not done. And when you look back at the story of Jonah, you see all the different phases where God was actively working, preparing him to experience the miracle that God had in store for him. I mean, look at all the phases. Jonah rejects God. He gets on a ship. And phase one, God sends the storm. It didn't work. Phase two, God sends the captain. Jonah, man, you gotta talk to your God. Help us out. We're going to die. Didn't work. Phase three, the sailors come. They're having mercy on Jonah. Like, come on, man, help us out. We're gonna all survive this. Didn't work. Phase four, he's thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish. And phase five, the fish gets sick, throws Jonah up on board. And phase six, finally, Jonah accepts the call of God on his life. He goes to Nineveh, preaches the gospel, and over 100,000 people commit their life to God. Through every single phase that Jonah went through, God was actively working in his life. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me, and I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves." He said, "I sank beneath the waves, and the waters, they closed over me. Seaweed had wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains." He was at a place of no return, like, game over. But look at what it says next. It says, "But you, Lord my God," what'd he do? "He brought me up from the pit." He brought me up from the pit. You read this story all the way up until this point. You read of Jonah going down, down, down. Like, his life is going down until he hit rock bottom. He couldn't go any further down. And all of a sudden, in this point of the story, things begin to shift. And Jonah says that from the place where I was rock bottom, God heard my prayer, and he lifted me up from the pit. Can you relate? Can you relate to that? Some of you here this morning, you're like, Josh, this ship that I'm on, it's sinking fast. Like things are spiraling out of control, and I'm going down. And it sounds a little churchy, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't forget the but God moments in your life. Don't forget the but God moments in your life. I was dead in my sin, but God saved me. Like my life was out of control, but God intervened. My marriage was on the rocks, but God restores. Don't forget the but God moments. Jonah said, I was in the pit of hell. I couldn't get any deeper, but God raised me up from the pit. And the next verse, it says, when my life was slipping away, said, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you. That I remembered God. When things got tough, he said, I remembered God, and my prayers rose to him. Did you know that the Bible teaches us to remember the things of God? Bible teaches us to remember God's promises. Bible teaches us to remember the miracles that God has performed in our lives. It's called our testimony. And the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, the scripture teaches us to remember the things of God. And I don't know about you, but for me, like when I'm going through a difficult season and things are challenging, things are rough, it's like I get amnesia and I completely forget everything that God has done for me. Like I get an unexpected bill in the mail and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose my house. I'm not going to have any food to eat. My family, we're going to be sleeping on the streets. And I forget all about that for my entire life. God has exceedingly and abundantly provided for me. We get amnesia. And Jonah said, I, in that place of hurt and sorrow and pain, I remember God. I remember God. I'll never forget my wife was 7-8 months pregnant, and I had left to San Francisco for work, and before I had left, she had a headache, but we didn't think much of it, and I was in San Francisco, and I got a call from my mom, and I could tell by the sound of her voice that something had happened, that it was serious, and she told me, Josh, Sylvia is in the hospital. They don't know exactly what's wrong with her, but something is wrong with her brain. And I was like, yeah, Mom, I could have told you that. No, bad joke. Don't tell Sylvia I said that. She's in active kids right now, so she'll never know. Said something's wrong with her brain. They don't know what's going on, but they're transporting her to Stanford to see a specialist, to see a neurologist. And, you know, I just freaked out. I'm like, okay, Mom, I'm on my way home. I'll be there, you know, in 3.5 hours. And she's like, Josh, Stanford is 15 minutes away from you. Like, just go there. We'll meet you there. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll just go there. And I'll never forget being in that hospital room and my wife laying there pregnant with my son. She was literally just in so much pain. And the doctors had done a series of tests, and they were working on her. And at the end of it all, they basically came to us and they said, you know, there's fluid on your wife's brain. But because of the fragile state that she's in, because of the baby, there's nothing we can do. And they basically just sent us home. And I'll never forget that we were at my house. My family was over helping take care of Sylvia, and Sylvia was literally just convulsing in pain. and it was causing her to throw up. And leading up to this moment, we had had two miscarriages. And so all of those fears, all of those lies, all of those thoughts were just consuming me. And I was overwhelmed at that moment. I was like, I just got to get away for a few minutes. And I went and I got in the shower. It was either go to the shower or go to the bar. I chose the shower. And I put on worship music, and I'll never forget that moment I called out to God. Like, it was a dark place. And I called out to God, and I remember that moment because when I called out to God, He answered me. He answered me. And it wasn't an audible voice, but I could hear Him. I could feel Him, and I could sense Him. We had planned on naming our son Luca. And Luca means traveler or bringer of light. And as I called out to God, I felt that He answered me, and He reminded me of the meaning of Luca's name. And it reminded me that He created Luca on purpose, with a purpose to bring light into this world. And I felt in my heart that He told me, Josh, there's no shadow. There's no darkness. There's no sickness. There's no pain that's going to prevent me from fulfilling my promise in Luca's life and him coming into this world and shining God's light in his generation. I felt it. I felt God confirm that with me. I went and I told my wife, I was like, I feel like it's going to be okay. I feel like you're going to be okay. I feel like the baby's going to be okay. I feel like God just told me. And I shared how God spoke to me in the shower. And 14, 15 months later, this is our light. He's already brought light into our family. And I know that there's a calling on his life to bring the light of Christ to his generation. My wife is good now. She's healed. And from that dark place in our life, we called upon God, and He answered. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe on the outside, it seems as if everything is good, but if you're at a place where you're in need of a breakthrough, if you're at a place where you're in need of the intervention of God, I can tell you, no matter how far away you are, if you could muster up enough courage to call on the name of the Lord, guess what? He'll answer. The God of the universe, the all-powerful, He'll answer. He'll answer. The next verse in Jonah's prayer, he tells God this: what I have vowed, I will make good. And scripture doesn't tell us what Jonah committed to or what he vowed to God, but I could imagine that he probably told God, wherever you tell me to go, I'm going to go. And whatever you tell me to say, I'm going to say. How many times have we found ourselves in a rough situation and we're like, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to change my life. Like, God, if you save my marriage, if you save my relationship, I'm going to take my family to church and things improve and things get better. And how many times do we forget about the vow, the commitments that we made to God? And Jonah said, God, no more of that. You delivered me. I didn't deserve it. You delivered me, and what I have vowed to you, I'll make good. I think it's time for us this morning to make a vow that whatever we commit to God, guess what? We'll make good. We'll make good. The very last thing that Jonah prayed, it's powerful. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. He said, I realize now, after all of this, after my running, after my rebellion, after my rejection, after being in the belly of a fish 3 days, after feeling as if I was in the pit of hell and there was no return, I now realize that salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. There was nothing Jonah could do at that moment to get himself out of that situation. And God came to the rescue and brought salvation. There was nothing he could contribute. There was nothing he could sacrifice. There was nothing he could give. His decisions had put him in that place, and he wasn't deserving of it all. But God came and brought deliverance. Church, salvation comes from the Lord. And if we call on the Lord this morning, Bible tells us that he'll come to our rescue. But even more than that, the Bible says that if we call upon the Lord and we confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, and we believe in our hearts that we'll be saved. See, so we can not just call on God and he'll rescue us, but guess what? He'll save us from our sins. And if you're in a place this morning where you need to be rescued, if you're in a place this morning where you need a breakthrough, or if you're in a place this morning in your life where you need to be saved, all we have to do is do exactly what Jonah did. Call on the name of the Lord. That's all we got to do.